Welcome to the Encounter Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Lord, we thank you for meeting all of our needs according to your riches and glory. Lord, we thank you for, Lord, supporting and pouring out, Lord, upon your people, Lord, that we would be generous and we'd be givers, Lord, and that we wouldn't be stingy, but we'd have a spirit of generosity and giving, Lord. And we thank you that every need will be met, Lord, and there'll be abundance, that we can be generous on all occasions. Lord, cause your people, Lord, their vats to overflow and their presses to burst out with new wine. And we thank you. We thank you. Just wave your offering to the Lord and say thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, in my life and every area of my life, physically, emotionally, spiritually, in every area. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so you can go ahead and bring it up. Thank you, Wes. Let's give it up for Wes. You can conclude, Wes. Thank you. And so Tuesday is our day of prayer. I want to ask you if you guys can fast that day, or if you can't fast the whole day, maybe fast a half a day as we pray in the morning and just pray for some of these issues. How many know I just got a text from Ava? There's a good report that her blood work came back this morning, tested as she's there right now. And come on, we're believing that Ava's going to come out of the hospital. You're going to see her on a Zoom call or somewhere. Come on, how many know that when there's someone close to us, that she's our sister? Now you say, well, maybe I don't know Ava like that, but I know her like that. And she's one of your sisters, and she's one of our board members here at the church. And so continue to pray. And then there's others that need a miracle in their body, Carlos and different ones. And come on, let's just pray that the Lord will touch our physical. How many of you guys need a touch in your physical body? Come on, you know that there's some areas in your life where the Bible says that our inward man is getting stronger, but our outward man is perishing. And so some of you guys realize that, man, my knee is not what it used to be. And so Lord, we just thank you for touching us physically in our bodies. And so if we can ask you to pray, and that won't hurt us after we've eaten a lot of food over the holiday weekend. And so we sang about being desperate today. And I don't know, sometimes I'm not desperate. I think that's it for our announcements or Wednesday nights. Excuse me, I'm already ready to start preaching and not do the announcements. But our Wednesday night, young adults and youth, and then this, Brother Franklin. I know there's churches gathering in the city of Oakland tonight, and if you want to join there, I'm not sure of that time, 5 p.m., and there's churches just gathering together to pray, and I believe Franklin is going to be playing and different ones. And so if you want to just go and just pray for the peace of this area and pray for revival in this area, you can join us there. And that'll be at 5 o'clock in the city of Oakland today, as churches are gathering to pray. Amen. How many know I was saying about being desperate. How many of you guys sometimes are like me? You don't respond to the feather. So sometimes God tries to get your attention, but sometimes there's something that happens and it wakes us up. And so how many say it's time to wake up? Come on, it's time to wake up. It's time for us to stay awake spiritually and spiritually strong. And I'm thankful for the worship team today and their prayers and their worship. As we sing songs, I don't know about you, but I like to exchange, that there's an exchange between me and God. There's an exchange between you and God when you worship. And it's not just something you're doing from your head, but it's actually doing from your spirit. And you're doing it because it's biblical. It's biblical. I remember when I first got saved a long, long time ago, we used to sing these songs, and they were taken from the Bible. And I didn't really know the Bible. Who in here, you don't really know the Bible like that? Come on, someone says, I don't know the Bible like that. And, you know, how many of you guys remember you had to turn to, like, the book of Ezekiel, and you were like, Ezekiel, where's that at? And so, but I remember singing these songs, and I'll never forget them. Like, one of them was taken from the book of Isaiah about not fearing, and it was called Fear Not. Portia still knows it. But I remember singing the song, and then I remember reading my Bible, and I'm like, that's where they got that song from. And so when we come and gather as the church, as Portia said, there's a synergy because we're doing something that's biblical, and there's an exchange between heaven. If we're just singing because it's natural, I'm not even supposed to be preaching about singing, but this is for someone. This is the power of us lifting our voice and singing and doing something that the Bible says that God lives in our praises, and he lives in our worship, and he dwells there, and he lives there. And so if you want God to stay close to you, then by maintaining a heart of worship and praise has to be heard. You can't just think praise. Right, so you gotta declare praise. The Bible says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Right, everything that has breath. Even my dog can praise the Lord. He can bark sometimes, but he has breath. And so, what we do it because it's biblical. And when we do things that are biblical, how many know God responds to our obedience, and it has to override how we feel. Because sometimes Pastor Steve doesn't feel like getting up and coming to church. Sometimes Pastor Steve doesn't feel like praying. Sometimes Pastor Steve doesn't feel like singing. But I know when I'm obedient to God and I do what the Bible says to do, that God responds to his word. Amen? He responds to his word. What are you telling me, dear? You want to fix my... Something's wrong with me. Aren't you glad you have someone to fix you? Come on, who needs someone to fix you? Come on, dear. It's on the floor. Don't undress me up here now. Okay. No. Thank you, dear. But come on, how many we need fixing? Come on, we need fixing. We need a heart fix. We need a perspective fix, that our perspective will be one that is found from the Word of God and the truth of Scripture, not how we feel, not by what we see. Yes, we can filter those things, but it has to be filtered through the Word of God. And the Scripture says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom and there's liberty. There's freedom and there's liberty. And just because you get to come to church doesn't always mean you're here in church. What was that song? I'm here and I'm desperate. And I was thinking, Lord, I'm here, but I'm not desperate. Come on. You ever felt that way? Lord, I'm here, but I'm not feeling that. I should feel it. I want to stay in that place where I'm staying sharp in the spirit and I'm desperate for you. Because true liberty and freedom, yes, we talk about the Declaration of Independence, but it's not the declaration of not being dependent. Being dependent. Being dependent. Being dependent. And that was really hard for me when I first got saved, is what does it mean to trust God and to be dependent upon him? I didn't like it because I was like, man, I want to do what I want to do. I don't want to do this stuff. And so there had to be a change where my love and my obedience to God wasn't something that I had to do. It was something that I got to do, because I knew that my Heavenly Father wanted the best for me. And so I would tell kids in high school, I would say, give me the definition of freedom. And they were like, not having to listen to my parents. I don't have to obey mom anymore. I don't have to do the dishes. I can come in whenever I want to. When I get 18, I can move out. And I would say, no, 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 no. Freedom and liberty is not doing what you want to do. It's having the power on the inside to do what's best. Or having something on the inside, having a power on the inside to choose God's best for you. When you have that power to say yes to God, because true success is not just making a lot of money, it's not doing things that we would say are successful. To me, true success is fulfilling God's call upon your life and his purpose for your life. That's success. I live by the scripture, Psalm Matthew 6:33. Noble, if you can just turn this down just a little bit. Thank you. 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. I remember I was in church praying with Courtney's uncle Reggie. It was a Monday night, and it's kind of interesting. Sometimes when you have prayer times, you only have like three or four people, because when we say pray, sometimes it's not the most exciting thing. And so, but Reggie and I were up there praying, and we were praying for the youth ministry. We were praying, and it was a Monday night, and I'll never forget, that's the night I met Pastor Portia. And I said, was I looking for Pastor Portia? No, I wasn't looking for her. I was looking for God. I said, God, you know all these things, but I'm going to seek you because I know that you have everything that I need. And so that's a great verse to live by, Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be given to you. So here today, we're going to talk a little bit about freedom. What does it mean to be free? Because just because we're free on the outside doesn't mean we're free on the inside. And that's where true freedom takes place. It's inside of us. It's in our spirit, man. It's in our soul. Because even when you look at your Bible, Paul wrote most of the 2/3 of the New Testament while he was locked up in jail. And it was in prison. But he talked about revelation and glory and the goodness of God and the power of God. And he also talked about suffering and contradiction. But so on the natural, he was confined, but on the inside, he was free. And he said, even though in 2 Timothy, I think it's in chapter 3, he says, even though I'm bound up on the outside and I'm limited on the outside, I'm free on the inside. And you know what? God's word is not bound. God's word is not chained up. And so what does it mean to be free? And I remember, even as we sang today, what did it mean to be desperate? And I remember being 19 years of age, and even though I was free in the natural, I thought I was. I can do whatever I want. I had a car. I had a Z28. It had about 12 speakers in it, an amp, and I thought I was cool and cute, and I had money, but I was addicted. I was bound. I was a slave to myself. So on the outward, I had things that you would say, oh, that's successful. I had a job. I had money. I had a car. But I was a slave. I was bound. I wasn't free on the inside. And so it's interesting that a lot of us come to God for what he can do for us. Come on, how many of you guys have some, Lord, I need you to do something for me. Come on, how many of you guys are feeling that way? Lord, there's something that I want you to, I'm asking you. Now, you're not bossing God around, but come on. In the natural, there's some needs that you have. God, I wish this would happen, or I wish this could take place, or I wish this need could be met. And so I got tired of being a slave. But to tell you the truth, my flesh enjoyed it. My flesh, man, my carnality enjoyed getting high. My carnality enjoyed sin. My carnality enjoyed the things that kept me in addiction and in bondage. My carnality, my flesh, man, enjoyed that. Some people say, oh, I don't like it. You're lying. You like watching porn. Your flesh does. And so, but I had to get to a place because I had someone praying for me, and that my life was more important and it was more valuable than just fulfilling my own fleshly desires. How many know that God created each one of you in his image, and you're created in spirit, soul, and body? And so I'll never forget living down the street and from this church, and I'll never forget, I was like, man, what does it mean to be free? How can I get free? I just got to get to this place. Now, maybe you're not addicted to those things, but maybe there's some other areas in your life that you're battling. Maybe it's some fear. Maybe it's your identity. Maybe it's trust issues, or there's some violence. Maybe whatever it is, there's some things that we all battle in life. And so, but for me, I remember I was like, Lord, I gotta change. I want to be free. I want to have, you know, I knew about Jesus in my head, but I wanted his power in my life because I didn't want to just keep repeating. Someone says the definition of insanity is to keep repeating the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. That's the definition of stupidity as well. And so, come on, everyone look at your name and say, you got to do something. You got to do, you can't just think about it. You can't just think about it, and that's fantasy. Right? That's fantasy. If you just think about it and talk about it but never do it. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, it talks about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. Aren't you thankful that Jesus actually went out and he did miracles? Then he taught about them. He didn't just teach it. It said all that Jesus began to do and to teach. And so I had to do something. So everyone say, do something. And so I had to get my lazy self up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I was like, if I want to change, I had to be to work at 7. I says, but if I want to spend time with God, if I want to get to know this Jesus, then I have to spend some time with him. So that means I have to set my alarm clock. I got to go to bed early. Now, I know this is not an amen shouting service, but if you want to change, you got to change. And I had to change. I said, I can't repeat my behavior and expect a different result. So I'll never forget, I had this 18 speed. Actually, I still have it. It's called, if anyone wants to buy it, I'll sell it to you. It's actually, I bought this bike. Let me tell you about this bike. You guys are looking, you're going to hear about my bike. But it was a Schwinn Super Sport. I bought it, I think, in 1985. I still have it. I spent $555 on that bike. It weighed like 28 pounds. I have it in my garage, if anybody. It's like a, but I would drive that, I would ride that bike everywhere. But I would ride it to the fruit, to the BART station at Bayfair, and then I would take it to Fruitvale BART and get to the church because I wanted to get there to learn how to pray. Like, what does it mean to pray? I was like, these people, I don't even know how to pray. But I'll never forget. There were some older saints there. And one of them was Courtney's, you know, her great-grandma. Her great-grandma and another lady and some other folks. But they would just lay hands upon me and they would start speaking in tongues. And I was like, these people are kind of crazy, but I don't even understand what they're saying. You know, have you ever said, you gotta do this and you gotta do that and do that? But I had to get there. I had to get into an atmosphere of faith. I had to get into an atmosphere where there was an impartation into my heart and into my life and into my mind and into my body. Because I didn't want to be an addict anymore. I didn't want to be addicted to thoughts of fear. Right? Any thoughts? Come on, think about the things that we have to battle. Because sometimes we talk about freedom and we talk about all the freedom of just the outward freedom. But I'm talking to you about an inward freedom, that you have freedom in the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Think about that verse. It's in the book of Psalms. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing will offend you. Great peace. Come on, not just a little bit of peace, but great peace. Let's think about peace. Do we have peace? Do we walk in peace? Do you know peace? Peace is a person. Peace is Jesus, and it comes from the relationship that we have from him. And so for me in my life, I said, God, make me desperate. Make me hungry. Put a cry within me that wants true freedom, and that's only found in the Lord. And so I would do this repeatedly, and not just for one day. I did that for about a year. Now, was I consistent every day? I don't know. Probably not on Saturday and Sundays. But the point being, I wanted to develop a new habit because I knew that that new habit would produce something on the inside of me. Being habitually addicted to God is a good thing. The Bible says that in Timothy, it says bodily exercise is good. Come on, how many of you guys have been working out a little bit, maybe at home? You know, you should work out a little bit more at home. You should watch your, look at, everyone's like, yeah, I should. Okay. It says it's profitable, but godliness is much more profitable. And how many know that we can exercise ourselves unto godliness? So now, let me turn into the scriptures today. Turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 19. If you have it, share it. Can you put it up there? Exodus, chapter 19, verse 1. You can put it in the New King James translation if you'd like. But I'll read it for you. It says, this is the children of Israel. Come on. Because our lives are a picture of that. When you read the stories of the Bible, it points to you and your life. And so the children of Israel were enslaved. They were slaves for 400 years. They were in slavery. They were in bondage. Okay? They were persecuted and had to face the atrocities of slavery. And let's read here. But look what the Lord says when he brings them out in Exodus 19. It says, in the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. Is anybody in a wilderness season right now? For they had departed from Rephidim, had come to the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you will be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Isn't that a beautiful picture of what the Lord has done for us? It says that he lifts us up out of our old way of life, the part of life that wants us to be controlled or in bondage, and he lifts us up, he lifts us out, and it says that he brings us on his wings as an eagle, and he brings us to himself. He brings us to himself. Why? Because he wants you to know that you're special. Now, you got to want this. You have to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this is what you've done. You've lifted me up and out of where I was. I don't know about you, but I remember who I used to be. And I remember what a great salvation it is that the Lord has given us. And so he lifts us out. He brings us on the wings of an eagle. He brings us to himself that we would know that we're called to be special because of what he's done for us. But how easily we forget. Now, this says just in the third month. That was only 90 days ago. So how many of you guys have a short memory? You forget. How many of you guys forget what you ate yesterday or forget what was preached? But let's flip in your Bible. Let's see what the children of Israel forgot. Flip over to Exodus 16 or Exodus 15. Here they came. They came out, and they got into a place of testing. Someone said, your life is like a tea bag. Actually, Pastor David said that. He said, your life is like a tea bag. You don't know the true flavor until you get thrown in hot water. Come on, how many of you guys know what I'm talking about? How many of you guys, when your life gets thrown in hot water, the true flavors come out? Or when somebody crosses you, or somebody offends you, or someone makes you mad, or has anybody been living in some hot water and you don't like the flavor that's coming out? Come on, say, Lord, add some sugar. Come on, add some sugar. Add some sweetness to me. And so here the children of Israel, they come out. Come on, you got to think about this. 6 million people, they come out. Moses is the deliverer. And they see all the signs and the wonders. Now, not just something ordinary, something extraordinary God did. But yet they come out, and now how easily they forget. And they get to a place where the water, they're thirsty. But they don't like the taste of the water because they say it's bitter. And so God, here it is, they start complaining. Now, I know no one in here in this season is complaining to the Lord, except Pastor Steve a little bit. Come on, how many of you guys got some complaints to the Lord right now? And so it says that the waters, they complained, it was the place of Marah, or the place of bitterness. And so we have to guard our heart against being bitter towards the Lord. And these people, they cried out, and they started to complain. Then in chapter 16, they started to get hungry. And they were like, you know what, Moses? It would have been better for God and you to leave us back in Egypt and back in our bondage just so we can eat the food that we had. How easily we'll sacrifice temporary satisfaction for an eternal destiny. And so they started to complain because they were like, God, we want some meat. We want some food. And so what does God do? He says, okay, he gives them the quail. He gives them the bread. Then here it go, verse chapter 17. Then all the congregation of the children of Israel went out on their journey from the wilderness of sin. Has anyone been in that wilderness lately? Don't raise your hand. According to the commandment of the Lord, and they camped, and therefore what they were thirsty again. So what is are these pictures of? That God does test us. He tests us in the wilderness. He tests us when he brings us out. He tests us to show us, just because you bring the children of Israel out of slavery, it doesn't necessarily you take the slavery or what's inside of them out of them. So it's the same way in our life. It's the same way with us. Just because God may do something in the outward, it has to be an inward work of the Spirit of God that's in our spirit, not just in our flesh. So all of these illustrations were the children of Israel. They wanted God to satisfy their flesh, their outward. They were thirsty. They were hungry. They were thirsty. They were hungry. It was all about the natural. And you realize that God has a greater picture for us as people. We're called to live by the Spirit. Okay, for the sake of time, I'm going to flip over. And so flip over in your Bible to the book of Galatians chapter 4. And in Galatians, chapter 4, let's pick it up. How many of you guys have your Bible? Anybody have your Bible? Thank you, Scott. Does anybody have your physical Bible, electronic Bible? How many of you guys will say, Pastor Steve, I need to eat my Bible a little bit more? Come on, I need to read my Bible. Come on, I need to meditate in the Word of the Lord. I need to have it wash me. Do you know that that's the power of the blood? It says that we can approach His throne with full confidence, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts and our minds sprinkled from an evil conscience by the sprinkling of the water of the Word. So how many of you know that that's scripture and that's biblical? And so what I just quoted to you, if you just hear that in natural words and you don't hear that through the Spirit of God, then you don't understand that there's truth to that, that the blood of Jesus and the Word of God is alive, and that when you come into God's presence, it's not something that you just do on the outside. There's actually something taking place in the Spirit, that you're actually coming into the presence of God. You're coming before the throne of God. His blood gives you access, and that's something that you can get to every day of your life. It's not something that's just natural. And so, but the children of Israel, how easily they forgot. So they were slaves taken out, but they didn't have the slavery taken out of their hearts and the mindset that wanted to keep them back. Come on, think about that. They wanted to go back in bondage for food or for water. Aren't you thankful that Jesus said, in John chapter 8, on the last day of the feast, he said, if anyone is thirsty, if anybody is thirsty, let them cry out in thirst, for out of their innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. So, Lord, we thank you for your living water today. We thank you for the Spirit of God, Lord, that your people are a spiritual people. Your people, they're a spiritual house. Lord, we're called to live, Lord, as lively stones, Lord, building up the house of the Lord, that we are a company of believers, that we are Zion, that what we do and what we say and how we act, Lord, it's something that's eternal. Lord, and I thank you that we are sons and heirs of God. So Paul, he was a Pharisee. He was very smart. He had the first 5 books of the Bible memorized. But just because you know the letter of the law doesn't mean you know the heart of the law. Come on, he was smart. Come on, he studied. He was from the priestly tribes. You know, in the book of Philippians, he says all these things. He had all these outward accolades. He says, but all these things are as dung or garbage. He said, I would trade all these outward things for the excellency of knowing God. Of knowing, because what he was referring to was something that was alive, something that was spiritual. These other things were outward accolades that he did in the natural, but knowing God was something that fulfilled his deepest cry in his heart. That was the difference. And so he had all these things. And now he uses these two illustrations. He uses the old and the new. He uses two children, one that was born of the bondwoman or the slave woman, and one that was born of the free woman. And he uses these to speak of two covenants. Now let's pick it up in verse 4. Hopefully you have a translation that you like. It says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child..." Come on, look at your neighbor and say, "Are you still a child?" Tell him to grow up. It says, "Now that the heir, as long as they are a child, does not differ at all from the servant, though the son or the heir is master of all. But he is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so we," that's you, say me, "when we were children..." Okay, he's using this illustration. Come on, think about it. It's a little puzzle here. "When we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world." Come on, how many of you guys know what I'm talking about? You, when you were immature in your walk with God, you were under the bondage under this world system. "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions as sons." Another translation says that he bought your freedom. That's what that word means. The word redeem means that Jesus purchased your freedom so that you and I would know freedom and liberty. So verse 5, "to redeem those," or to buy back, to pay. And what was the price for you and I? Come on, it was his life. He bought our freedom back with obedience to death. "To redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions as sons. And because you are a son," come on, look at your neighbor and say, "You're a son. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son." Come on, I don't want to live in slavery. I don't want to live in bondage. And what does that mean? Yes, I know in the outward we can say we're free, but I'm talking about an inward work in your heart and in your mind, in your spirit, in your soul. Do you know peace? Do you know joy? Like today we were singing that song about joy. And I was like, you know what? Does the church realize that they're the house, that this house is not the body, that the joy that comes should be in our spirit, that the joy only comes from Jesus? Medicine can't give it to you. A doctor can't give it to you. Only the joy is the fruit of the Holy Ghost. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Those are fruits that God's Spirit produces. And the only way it gets produced, if you get adopted. I don't know about you. I'm thankful that I'm adopted by God. And it says, he gives you his spirit whereby you know adoption. Therefore, you're no longer a servant or a slave, but a son. And if you are a son, then you're an heir of God through Christ. Now, for the sake of time, let's jump down to chapter 4, verse 21. In the verses between there, Paul is basically telling them, He basically says, you know, when I said everything nice to you, you liked me. But when I told you the truth, now you're ready to kill me. Come on, isn't that kind of the day we live in, when there's, if you disagree, there's people want to kill you for disagreeing with them. And so that's a whole other thing. But Paul says, verse 20, "I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you." Basically, Paul was saying, I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about where you are. I'm concerned that you're getting a little bit off, and I'm the one who's your spiritual father. I'm the one who birthed you. I'm the one who has a responsibility, and now I need to come and correct you a little bit and bring you back to realizing that you're called to live in a better manner. And he was like, now you want to throw eggs at me, kind of, is what he said. But he says this in verse 1. He says, "Tell me, who do you desire to be under? The law? Do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by the bondwoman," that was Hagar, "and the other by the free woman," come on, that was Sarah. "But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the natural or to the flesh. And the one born of the free woman was of the promise. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's talking about you. It's talking about your flesh and your spirit man. Someone said there's a war going on inside of you, and you know who wins? The one you feed the most. Okay? And so this passage is actually talking about you as an individual, your flesh man, your carnal man, and your spirit man. One that's based upon duty and law, and there's also one that's based upon faith and promise. That's the difference between the two. And he says they also represent a city. And so let's keep reading here. It's quite evident. It says these are symbolic. Verse 24. The things which are symbolic, for these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. And this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia that corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem... Does anybody know what Jerusalem means? It's the city of peace. The city of peace. I don't know where you're living, but hopefully you're living near the city of peace. Come on, you get to choose where you live. But the Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. Now look what Paul quotes. He quotes a passage from the Old Testament about singing and rejoicing. He says, for it is written, rejoice, O barren. How many of you know it's a choice to rejoice? Come on. Your flesh doesn't feel like rejoicing. We were singing today, and I could just feel it in here. Ugh, I don't like rejoicing. Rejoicing means I got to be happy. You know, misery loves company. Come on, rejoice. You know what I'm talking about, right? I don't feel like being happy. I don't feel it. I don't feel it. Come on, how many of you guys like to feel it? What I'm talking about, come on, you want to feel the Spirit of God touching you. You don't want to just go through the motions. That's what Pastor Steve's talking about. You don't want to just go come up here, sing songs. No, it's like I want to feel it. I want to feel the Holy Ghost. Now, do I always feel it? No, I don't. A lot of times it's faith. It's obedience. It's walking. Come on, does Pastor Steve always feel anointed? Absolutely not. Do you always feel anointed? Absolutely not. Do you feel like your prayers always hit heaven? Absolutely not. But you do it out of faith and obedience because you know God's word is true, and you do it based upon that. But he quotes, he says, for it is written, rejoice, O barren one. Oh, the one that feels like they're forgotten. Come on. Barrenness was a curse in the Bible, but how many know that God used barren people? Look at in the story of Abraham. Right? And Sarah. And then you had Isaac and Rebecca. Look at Hannah. Right? These were people that were barren. They felt like, man, God, if I am walking in obedience, why isn't everything going right? Why isn't everything going good? And so there was contradiction. Look at Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were old and advanced in years. And so they were barren. And so, come on, how many of you guys feel like you're a candidate? It says, rejoice, O barren, who did not bear... Break forth and shout. It doesn't say break forth and think. It doesn't say break forth and meditate. Break forth and shout. I don't know, when was the last time you guys shouted about anything? What is there to shout about? There's nothing on the news to shout about. Maybe go and shop. There's nothing at the store to shout about. How many of you guys ever see those sales? It says up to, up to. They try to get you to sell up to 80% off. I'm like, Porsche, it says up to. Come on, when was the last time you shouted? Like, you shouted for joy. You shouted because God touched you. Or you shouted out of desperation. Or you shouted like today we were shouting because there's some brothers and sisters that need a touch from God, that need a miracle. Then you say, Lord, I'm going to shout. I'm going to cry out. I'm going to approach your throne for my brother and my sister because they need a miracle. They need a miracle in their physical body. They may need a miracle in their soul. And so there's something, how many of you know we have something to shout for? And it's not shouting just so that we can be loud. It's shouting because it's in the Bible. It says, break forth, you who do not bear or are not fruitful. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. That's something to shout about. I remember, come on, if you've ever been in labor, you know what I'm talking about. You do not want to shout about being in labor. But even though you're in labor, you're crying. For the desolate has many more children than she who has the husband. So what is this talking about? This is talking about the children that are of faith, the children that are of promise, the children that are of the Spirit, the children that come to know God because He puts His Spirit inside of them, and they come to God not based upon rules and rituals and regulations, but they come to God because His Spirit has touched them and He's put something inside of them that now they says, now I know that God is real. I know that He's alive. I don't know how I know. I just know that I know because I opened up my heart and I responded to His word. And I, just like we said today, if you call upon the name of Jesus, you shall be saved. If you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. It says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let me take you back to this verse. This is an elementary verse about salvation. Romans chapter 10. You say, how do I get somebody saved? You go to Romans chapter 10. I think it's verse 9 and 10. It says, if you confess the Lord Jesus Christ, so you got to say it, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. It says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's why you have to believe it in your heart and you have to say it with your mouth. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, you got to say it. Say, stop being quiet. Say it through the mask. Amen. And so it says, now we brethren, let me keep reading, verse 28. Then she who has a husband, verse 20. Now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Say, I'm a child of promise. I'm a child of promise. But as he was born according to the flesh, then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit. This is the war that I'm talking about inside of you. There's a persecution between the flesh man and the spirit man. There's a persecution between that which is born of flesh and that which is born of spirit. And then it says this at verse 29, even so it is now. That's for you and me. Even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, and the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So, brethren, we are not children of slavery or bondage, but we are called to be children of liberty or freedom. And what that means is we're called to walk in the liberty and the freedom of the Spirit, not be controlled by our carnality and our flesh. And we can go through the Bible and we could read. We know that the works of the flesh are anger, pride, jealousy, all the things that cause death, but the fruit of the Spirit, we know that. But look what it says here. It says to stand fast. It says stay strong. Stay strong in your freedom by which Christ has made you free. And don't be yoked again with the things that cause you bondage. And then he goes on and he talks about this. Let's go to verse 7 of chapter 5, Galatians. It says, you ran well, but who tripped you up? Or who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you in the Lord that you who will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment. Wes, can you come on back up to the piano at this time? I'm going to leave the book of Galatians. No, I'll stay in the book of Galatians. Let's just, verse 13 of chapter 5. It says, for you have been called to liberty. Okay? The liberty of the Spirit. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity to return back to the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. It says, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you want to. Has anyone ever been there? We had a great discussion on Wednesday night with our young adults. We were talking last Wednesday about, what was it, feeding the natural and feeding the Spirit. And have you guys ever read the book of Romans chapter 6? And it's called, I don't know, Ashley called it the, she called it the doo-doo chapter. Like, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, I end up doing. Okay? And then it says, who can deliver me from this body of sin? Who can deliver me from myself? Come on. Who can deliver? So Pastor Steve is here. Who can deliver me from me? Thank the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it says, walk in the Spirit. And it says in verse 18 of chapter 5, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under bondage. You're not under bondage. Come on, you're not under bondage. You're not under bondage. Go ahead and stand with me today. And if you're here and you say, Pastor Steve, I want to walk in true liberty. I want to walk in true freedom. Even though we live in a democratic society, and we have freedom. Lord, I want the freedom of the Spirit. Lord, I want the freedom on the inside. I want freedom in my thoughts and in my mind. I don't want to be tormented by fear. I don't want to be tormented by bad dreams, by perversion, by insecurity. I don't want things that battle against my soul and battle against my mind to keep me in a place of bondage. So, Lord, thank you that you sent your Son Jesus, and you sent your Son, and you sent your Spirit to fill us, Lord, that we would walk in newness of life, and we would walk in the promise of the Father, and that we would be born of the Jerusalem which is above and not of the earth, that we would have peace in our mind, that we wouldn't just think about peace, but we would know peace. We wouldn't just think about what does it mean to have love, but we would know love. Lord, we would know joy. Lord, we would know patience and long-suffering and temperance and self-control. We would know those things. We wouldn't just think about them in theory, but we would know them. Lord, so today, I bless Encounter Church. Lord, as we come to the celebration of liberty, Lord, let us walk in liberty of your Spirit. Lord, let us walk in liberty. Lord, let us feed those things that make for our peace. Lord, let us feed on your word. Let us feed upon your presence. Lord, and let us love one another. Lord, as your word says, Lord, let us love. Lord, love is an action word. Lord, let us love on one another. Lord, let us not bite and devour. Lord, but let us love. Lord, let us love. Lord, let us love. Lord, let us love like you love. Let us serve like you served. Lord, let us prefer others before ourselves. Lord, as you are our example. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Why don't you just at this time go ahead and look around at somebody and smile at them and tell them that you love them. Give them the love sign. Sign to them. Pastor Portia can sign a little bit better than I can.
Thank you for listening to the Encounter Church Sermon of the Week. If you would like to learn more about us, please visit encounterjesus.us or search for Encounter Church San Leandro in your app store.